Well, we have another hot day to endure today before that welcome cool front rolls through tomorrow and brings some cooler air and much lower humidity. So temperatures today soaring into the mid-90s. The record is 96, set back in 1990. Will likely fall just a bit short of that, but it's a hot day today and kind of ironic considering it's also the first day of autumn, or at least it arrives, the autumnal equinox, at 9:03. This evening. So we have approximately, not quite perfectly, but approximately 12 hours of daylight and 12 hours of night. And, of course, it sets the stage for our cooler temperatures that we can expect over the next couple of months as we slide through fall, with temperatures go from the average today in the mid to upper 80s to average temperatures cooling through the 70s and eventually into the 60s by the time we get to late November and into December. But until we get there, this is more of a tease than anything else, but it's a nice welcome relief as temperatures tomorrow will only reach the low to mid 80s. We'll still start out pretty warm and humid early in the morning. You'll step out the door and go, now, wait a minute, where's the cool front? Well, just be patient. There'll actually be a surge of northeasterly winds in the afternoon that'll bring in even cooler and drier air, and temperatures should fall off some by late afternoon into the evening, making for a very comfortable night tomorrow night for high school football. And then over the weekend, just gorgeous. A lot of sunshine on Saturday, comfortable temperatures, low humidity, will reach the mid-80s, but it won't feel bad at all. We'll drop well down into the 60s Saturday night, and some spots near and west of Highway 301 will touch the upper 50s. And then on Sunday, a little bit warmer again, but still about where we ought to be this time of year, and the humidity not bad, so mid to upper 80s. And Monday will be pretty hot. We'll start out the new work week near 90 degrees. That's ahead of the next cool front that'll roll through here and cool temperatures by Tuesday. So we're not looking at this heat lasting particularly long. We have a couple of fronts that we get to deal with. Not much rain, which is a long time since we've been able to say that. There may be an isolated shower, a thunderstorm on Monday with that next front, but it would be very hit and miss. Doesn't look like anything widespread. And that's good news. We'll have had about a week of dry weather, and in some cases 8 or 9 days before we get wetter again late next week. A chance for the water table to go down a little bit in some of those bloated pools and retention ponds, streams, to get a chance to go down some. And that may be very important for what comes out of the Caribbean late next week. As we track the tropics, we still have Fiona, a powerful hurricane, of course, over the western Atlantic, pretty much moving on course today. It'll be just about due even to the east of Jacksonville, Jacksonville's latitude, in other words, but 800-900 miles to the east, as a powerful hurricane still. And so it's sending swells to our beaches and rough season surf. We already saw evidence of that yesterday and overnight. We'll have breakers averaging 4 feet or so today, 5-6 feet at times tomorrow, with a little bit of an extra oomph from the onshore flow, and then averaging 3 to 4 with an occasional 5-footer at high tide over the weekend. The moral of that story is a high rip current risk. Best advice is to stay out of the water. Otherwise, Fiona headed toward Bermuda, just to the west and northwest of the Bermuda is where the eye should go late tonight into tomorrow morning, and then racing into the northwest Atlantic tomorrow night and into Saturday. And while it loses its tropical characteristics, it'll be a major ocean storm over the northwest Atlantic, bringing 100-plus mile-per-hour winds to Nova Scotia and Newfoundland. So the eastern parts of Canada will be impacted by what's left of Fiona. And then we have Gaston still over the northern and northeastern portions of the Atlantic, moving to the northeast. No threat to land, with the exception of some higher season surf for the western Azore Islands. We have two eastern Atlantic tropical waves that have some potential to develop and even get named, but eventually should turn more northward with time. Doesn't look like they can make it across the Atlantic. And then we have the already ballyhooed tropical wave that's moving into the Caribbean. I've been talking about this pretty much all week long. And this one took the low road, and that's how it's getting by. That's how it's getting so far to the west and northwest. Everything else has been getting caught up and moved to the north because the Bermuda High is shifted north and east. But in this case, this tropical wave, or as we like to call it affectionately, 98L, is so far south that it's not being impacted by that alleyway through the western portions of the Atlantic. So it moves through the Caribbean through the weekend with the potential for gradual development, and then should be a little south and southwest of Jamaica, Mon, by late Sunday and Sunday night, emerging into the Gulf of Mexico early next week, and then it's a move to the north and northeast. It is still very early in the game on this one, and the exact how exactly this is going to intensify is up for debate. There's some land interaction with the northern coasts of Colombia and Venezuela here over the next day or two, so that should limit its overall organization. But once it moves away from land, gains a little bit of latitude, moves over the central Caribbean, the shear relaxes, the water is extremely warm. We should be able to see some organization and eventually intensification and a gradual turn to the northwest and then north. The question is how sharp. There may be some interaction also with the Yucatan Peninsula, and then it's into the Gulf of Mexico, where again, like the Caribbean, the water is very warm through a very deep depth. The shear does not look prohibitively strong, at least initially, especially over the central and southern Gulf of Mexico. And then that would mean eventually a landfall potentially along the Gulf Coast. That is, again, not set in stone. Anything more than a few days away is high speculation and tendency to change a good deal. And forecast models simply are not near as reliable, especially when you get in that longer range. But heads up, for the Caribbean, anybody traveling or with family there, friends, the Caribbean islands, this will not, however, affect Dominican Republic and Puerto Rico after the hard hit from Fiona. So that's some good news there. Could be some impacts eventually for Cuba and Jamaica, the Yucatan Peninsula, and then anywhere on the Gulf Coast from Texas to Florida, though I particularly seem to favor at this point anywhere between New Orleans and the west coast of Florida. But again, subject to change, and forecast models certainly are not in lockstep on where this storm will go and exactly how fast, although they are pretty much in lockstep that something is developing here from this tropical wave and gives us a pretty high degree of confidence that this is something to watch. And we're giving you the first alert and have been for a while. You should make sure to prep everything with your hurricane storm kits as you would with an approaching hurricane potentially. I'm not speaking necessarily specifically for Jacksonville and northeastern Florida, but along that Gulf Coast region that I was talking about, and making sure that you've got things ready to go and organized as we head toward late next week and into the following weekend. No reason to be caught off guard with this one. We also we'll see potential for the other systems to develop, as I mentioned, over the central and eastern Atlantic. So the exact name for this one is still a little bit up in the air, as Hermine is the next name, but it could go to one of those eastern Atlantic waves. And if that happens, the one over the Caribbean would eventually become Ian. But Hermine and Ian are the next two names on the list. And that should conjure up some memories, perhaps. Anyway, Hermine, remember these lists, these names are recycled every 6 years, the same list, unless there's a retired name and then there's a new one put in there. But from 2016, Hermine hit the panhandle of Florida as a Category 1 hurricane and had a lot of power outages in Tallahassee for quite some time. And then I might evoke some memories from 2004 when Ivan smashed into the Florida panhandle, really intense hurricane with a major storm surge. And that name, Ivan, then was retired and has been replaced now with Ian, which would be, again, the next name on the list once Hermine is used. Always more, of course, Talking the Tropics with Mike. Updated every single day during the hurricane season. WOKV.com and ActionNewsJax.com. With all your weather all the time, I'm Chief Meteorologist Mike Burrish from the CBS 47 at Fox 30 Action News Jax First Alert Weather Center for 104.5 WOKV.